Hi, everybody. Today is Sunday, June 15th, 2025, and our friend Professor Marandi is back with us. Well, welcome back, Professor.
Thank you, Nima. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Let's get started, Professor, with what has happened at the beginning of this attack, Israeli attack in Iran. Many people were so much confused about what has happened to Iranian air defense system. Why have they not been prepared to respond to Israel? What is your take on how it started in Iran?
Well, contrary to what many in the West are repeating, Iran was on alert for an attack. But Iran has many enemies. The Israeli regime has a huge coalition behind it, larger than the coalition that's behind Ukraine, for example. And in our region, we have many actors that are working for the Israeli regime. And some of them I don't want to name, but some of these drones come from Syria. Some of them are coming from parts of Iraq. And there are other issues, apparently, that I don't want to get into. But the fact is that countries in the Persian Gulf region, they have been allowing the United States to use these bases to help the Israeli regime carry out the attacks and to defend the Israeli regime against Iran's counterattacks. This is a fact. They've been doing it in the past with regards to Yemen, and now they're doing it against Iran. U.S. radar stations in Turkey are also being used, and airspace in Jordan is being used by the Americans, the British, and the Israelis to down Iranian drones. And the Iraqi airspace is also being used by this coalition of the genocidal. So Iran is up against a very formidable coalition with multiple layers. But I think Iran has shown extraordinary competence in that it regrouped literally within hours. And you saw after a few hours, the Iranians began firing missiles at the Israeli regime in retaliation for its atrocities across the country. Just a few hours ago, 10 kids were murdered in an apartment building in Tehran, in Narmak, in the east of Tehran, something that the Western media doesn't really care about because they're Iranian, of course. Just they're Amalek. We're all Amalek, just like the Palestinians, just like the Lebanese. I don't want to go over all this again because I know your audience knows how it is. But so the Iranians, within hours, they began their response, despite the fact that senior commanders were martyred. And the Iranian air defenses, after a few hours also of great difficulty, they began to function more with greater power. And now it's become much more difficult for the Israeli regime to carry out its criminal acts. You saw how Netanyahu was saying he's going to burn Tehran, or his minister of genocide said he's going to burn Tehran. Just like these are monsters. No sane person talks like that. No normal person talks like that. Burn Tehran, burn Gaza, burn Lebanon. These are maniacs, evil maniacs that have the full support of the West. And that says a lot about Western leaders, Western elites, Western legacy media journalists, Western think tankers. They all see this, but for them, they portray it as somehow normal. And they're constantly trying to justify everything that the Israeli regime does. I was on Sky News, and it sounded like this dystopian authoritarian regime with lipstick on it. they try to make it seem like it's normal, but their language is abnormal, their behavior is abnormal, their narrative is abnormal, and they're fully supportive of the Israeli regime. They say, when is Iran going to come back to the negotiating table? As if it was Iran that left the negotiating table. It was Americans who were deceitful and carried out an assault. So Western media is against us. Social media, of course, is weaponized against us. There's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. A lot of doctored photos, a lot of AI clips, a lot of clips that have nothing to do with Iran. And some of the Israeli clips that are out, obviously, are very misleading. For example, some of the airstrikes that the Israelis carried out, and which they showed footage of, they bombed, for example, missile launchers, but there are no secondary explosions. And I've tweeted this so that people could see it. These are Israeli clips. There are no secondary explosions. Why? Because these are all decoys. The Iranians have decoys all over the place. So the Israelis are constantly bombing decoys, whether they're for decoys for radar or missiles, and they're putting it out as great successes. They've had much less success than people seem to think when they look up the news in social media or in Western accounts. So the tide has turned, and I think last night was a sign of that. The Israelis were supposed to burn Tehran last night, and they couldn't. They killed some people. They hit some buildings. But Tehran is very much in place. It's Tehran. It hasn't been burned down. But last night we saw what happened to Tel Aviv, and we saw what happened to key installations in Israel. And this will continue, and it will get worse for the regime. And my advice is for Zionists to leave. It's time for them to go back home to wherever they came from. And live a peaceful life and try to get some sort of re-education so that they can view other human beings as equal. But in any case, the tide has turned, and Iran is going to make sure that when the fighting stops, it has the upper hand.
Looking at the way that the started this attack on Iran and compare it to what it happened with Russia and these drones that were carried by trucks, containers in Russia. Do you see some sort of similarity between what has happened in Russia and what happened in Iran?
Absolutely. The same people who planned the attack in Russia are the same people who planned the attacks in Iran. It's the exact same. This is not a coincidence. There's no coincidence. It's clear that these are the same people. This was the same type of plan. And fortunately, one reason why they've slowed down the internet, and I had to come here, I've come all the way, I found a place across town so I could do this interview with you, Nima. You owe me one. You have to buy me an ice cream one day. I came all the way across town for this. They slowed down the internet in order to, for security reasons. That's why I've had trouble with interviews. And the interesting thing is that those who dislike me, who call me the mouthpiece of the regime, I have to go across town to find a place where I can do an interview with you. I was a mouthpiece. I should have good internet, but anyway. So they've slowed down the internet in order to deal with these drones. But we are seeing the effect. We see a sharp decrease in the drone attacks and far greater effectiveness of anti-aircraft and anti-drone units. The regime is still killing people. The regime is still bombing. It has full Western support. Qatar, the Emirates, Bahrain, all of them are complicit. Their bases are still being used, American bases, they're being used to help the Israeli regime. They're all a part of this. But the tide has turned. And I'm very confident about the days and weeks ahead. And Iran is prepared for a very long fight. And Iran will make sure that by the time this ends, that the Israeli regime regrets carrying out this assault on this sudden assault on the Iranian people, this unprovoked assault. And it's very interesting that I was on Sky News, and the lady, she was apparently from Afghanistan or somewhere. She said, she was like speaking about this, how the Israelis were so professional on day one. It was a sudden attack, and they hit many of these people in their homes, in their apartment buildings. They killed them along with their neighbors and their families and their grandchildren and the children of the neighbors. And the West is really become despicable, these people in the Western media. How absurd. They try to pretend that, and they say that Mossad has bases in Iran. They want to present Mossad as this heroic and sophisticated organization. No, all they did was that they hire people on WhatsApp or Telegram, pay them through Bitcoin and that sort of thing. And then these people purchase on the black market or on the market tiny drones, and they receive, the means to create bombs or to install, put the bomb on the drone and kill people. It's not a military base. That can be done anywhere in the world. And what the Israeli regime is doing is creating a precedent. So for now on across the world, we're going to see just what the Ukrainians did too. You are going to see greater insecurity across the world.
What we are seeing right now, Professor Marandi, is Iran has somehow found itself and they're attacking Israel. You mentioned days and weeks ahead to fight Israel. Yesterday, we learned that the THAAD system, air defense system of Israel, is running out of missiles. And how capable, what is the estimation on the part of the Iranians on the capabilities of Israeli army?
Well, you're right. The Israelis are, and the Americans, and the French, and the British, they've all come together to defend these ethno-supremacist monsters and to protect it and help it attack Iran and attack and justify attacks on Iran. And they say the Israeli regime is strong, but they have to bring in everything they have. And interestingly, they have to bring in the air defense systems that were for Ukraine, that were supposed to be helping Ukraine to help Israel. Look at what they've done to Ukraine. They use Ukraine. They destroyed Ukraine. They've ruined its future. And now they've dumped it for the sake of this genocidal, monstrous regime. And this should be a lesson for all those countries and all those people who look to the United States and these Europeans and these neocons and these Zionists for support. They will dump them in a moment if they feel that their priority lies elsewhere. they will dump them immediately. So Ukraine, after all these 3.5 years of death and destruction, now they suddenly pull out their air defense capabilities for this genocidal regime. I think it's a lesson for everyone. And I think Ukrainians should look at this and rethink the catastrophe that they brought upon themselves and the catastrophe that lies ahead. But it's clear that the Americans and the Europeans are spending, and the Israeli regime are spending huge amounts of money trying to bring down Iranian drones and missiles. And Iranian drones and missiles are very inexpensive, as we discussed once upon a time. And so it's going to be a big problem. And the Americans apparently are bringing in everything they have, and so are the Europeans, to replace these emptied anti-missile and anti-drone systems that they have installed in Israel or near Israel. For example, the U.S. Navy in the Mediterranean is also bringing in ships to help defend. But it just shows how sophisticated and how competent the Iranians are, that despite everyone trying to protect this tiny monster, this monstrous entity, that Iranian missiles go right through and they hit their targets and they humiliate this regime.
When looking at the behavior of the officials in Israel, they're trying to somehow, Benjamin Netanyahu send a message to Iranian people, Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister of Israel, sent a message to Iranian people: right now is the time to rise up, to go against the regime. This, do you really believe that these people would believe the things that they're saying? It's somehow laughable when you look at the way they're talking. They don't know the Iranian people, in my opinion. They don't know how proud these people are to their traditions, to their culture, to their values. Do you think it would be the same if they really believe that? Is that the same case for Americans? Do they really believe what Netanyahu is advocating for?
Nima, they internalize these narratives. And so do these journalists. Again, I was on Sky, when I was on Sky News, the woman can't, like in 10 minutes, she and the previous guest, they said Iranian regime, like 20, 30 times. And she was, I think, in near Tel Aviv or somewhere. They internalize this. And then, you know, the Israeli government, or they call it this, you know, the prime minister. But in Iran, it's the leadership. It's the, you know, the Ayatollah, the regime, you know, and that sort of thing. They internalize it and they come to believe their own propaganda. But it's what Netanyahu and others think about Iran is not really any different from what you see in think tanks in the United States and in Europe, these very respectable think tanks where they have very well-funded people and in their expensive suits and ties, and they're constantly writing papers on Iran. The narrative in Washington is that the Iranian regime is about to fall, that it is corrupt, it is incompetent, that it is incapable of governing itself, it is deeply despised. That's what that's what they're saying in mainstream media too, all the time. The regime is despised. When General Soleimani was murdered by the Americans, you saw millions of people come to the streets of Tehran and millions of people come to the streets in other cities. Or when President Raisi passed away. But they won't, that just doesn't compute for them. They cannot comprehend that because it doesn't fit in their narrative. So, they see the information, but they reject it. They say, oh, these are, they bring them to the streets, or, you know, this, they'll justify it or they'll just ignore it. So all these think tanks in the United States and Europe, which feed information to the government, they're saying the same thing. And they've been miscalculating for decades. China, the economy is collapsing. How long have we been hearing that for 20 years now? that the Chinese economy is about to collapse. Their economies are collapsing, but the Chinese economy hasn't collapsed. Russia is a gas station with nuclear weapons, right? That's what they said. That's the narrative. And of course, Iran is what they claim it to be. So they will miscalculate. I don't think there's anyone on this planet more despised than Saddam Hussein in the 1990s in Iran. That he's the person who is hated by everyone. Netanyahu is the Saddam Hussein of Iran. He is the new Saddam Hussein, and Trump is the new Saddam Hussein of Iran. No one in Iran. If Netanyahu says one thing, then people in Iran will do the opposite. But this, of course, again, does not fit into the narrative of Iran, so they'll continue to say this sort of nonsense.
We know that the war in Ukraine has transferred the Russian army from a defensive position to be prepared for any sort of offensive if it needs to go on with that plan. Do you think that this attack, this was somehow a historic attack, because the Iranians never attack in the last 250 years. They have never attacked anybody, any country. And they are getting attacked, as you've mentioned, during the Saddam. They attacked by Saddam Hussein and Iraq, which was supported by the same people who are now supporting Israel in their attack on Iran. Do you think that would change the mindset, the doctrine of Iranian army in days and years and months ahead?
I think everything has changed, and Iran will be very different in the future in its dealings with the West and with its adversaries. This was a game changer. It has shown that the West is deceit. Everything about it is deceit. It doesn't matter if it's Biden or Trump. The same people who despise Trump, when it comes to Iran, they'll push the same narrative. They'll support the United States or the Israeli regime, whether it's Democratic or Republican. They will kill kids. They will slaughter Iranians. They will. I think this was a lesson learned for many Iranians, especially the upper middle class, the more wealthy, the more so-called liberal, who continued to believe that somehow the West was a force for good, or wanted to believe so, or at least pretended that was the case. But for the rest of Iranians, overwhelmingly, who have always been highly skeptical and critical of the United States, this just further cements that skepticism. And I think from now on, Iran is going to take care that the United States never again is able to infiltrate, or the IAEA is never again going to be able to serve as a tool or be used as a tool in order to gain information from Iran, or to undermine or Iran, or to put pressure on Iran. Things are going to be different in the future. And Iran's dealings, I think, with countries that have associated themselves with the United States will be different in the future. And I think it's very important for the Emirates to rethink its policies. It's very important for Qatar to stop supporting the United States this way. It's very important for the regime in Bahrain and Kuwait and so on to be very careful about their conduct, because ordinary Iranians see them as complicit, and the pressure will build on the government to respond. People are being killed. And so the dictator in Qatar, he has to make calculations about his own future. He has to be very careful. So do the dictators in all of these tiny regimes. They have to be very careful. People in Iran have been killed. They are seen as complicit by many ordinary Iranians. It is only because the state wants to preserve stability in the region and in the Persian Gulf in particular, for the sake of humanity, for the sake of everyone, that it has been behaving in a manner that we see. But the pressure is building. So they have to rethink everything very swiftly.
Do you think that this is the end for Netanyahu and his administration? For such a long time, they've been somehow manipulating each and everybody in this on this planet to go against Iran. This is the final goal of Netanyahu. This is the end game of Netanyahu. How do you find it?
Yes, the only real enemy of ethnic. Remember, as we speak, all of the countries in this region are doing business with the regime. They're trading. They're selling fuel. Their ships are going there. They're purchasing goods from Israel. Many have embassies. As this Holocaust has been going on, the complicity is extraordinary. And the reason is, of course, because of the deep influence of the United States and the West in these countries, across the board. But I think that Netanyahu has single-handedly destroyed Israel. The last 20 months in particular, have been one catastrophic mistake after another, one miscalculation after another. He, as I said once or twice before in your program, he being the genocidal maniac he is, and his people, they should have, if I was a sinister person like them, God forbid, I would have said to slaughter for a couple of months, keep spreading the myth about beheaded babies and rapes and all that, all those lies, and that the Palestinians killed all those Israelis, and we now know that the Israelis killed hundreds of their own people. But the Western media hid this, and they repeated all those narratives in order to help the Israelis carry out genocide. They're all a part of this. They all have blood on their hands. But he should have, if he wanted to be smart, he would have done this for a couple of months, pounded Gaza, and then said, I won. Did a prisoner exchange, and then he would have said, I won. But he continued to slaughter, and people's eyes across the world began to open. They began to see the images on their screens, day and night. And then he wouldn't stop at Gaza. He initiated war on Lebanon, destroying thousands of homes. When I was in Beirut, I recall how Western journalists in Beirut, an Al Jazeera journalist, as she was reporting on the first day, she was attacking Iran, saying how like they were bombing Beirut, literally. And Al Jazeera English, their reporter, was saying that, yes, Iran violates human rights, Iran. And I protested afterwards on air. But that, you know, and that's Al Jazeera. And then the others, you know, they were constantly saying these are Hezbollah in Beirut, reporting from Beirut. They were saying the Israelis are bombing Hezbollah targets, Hezbollah strongholds. Whereas they knew, because their own drivers, their own fixers, their own producers were Lebanese. Many of them lived in those neighborhoods. They knew that these were ordinary apartment buildings with ordinary people. They knew, but they would say strongholds because they wanted to justify what the regime was doing. But people across the world saw through this. They saw a genocidal regime that's destroying Gaza, that is expanding its ethnic cleansing in the West Bank, that's carrying out genocidal attacks on Lebanon, and which is alongside the Americans and other NATO members and client regimes, undermining Syria through ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Many people who before didn't know about any of these, about the Israeli regime, even on Syria, many people who didn't know in the past now know. Netanyahu has opened the eyes of the world through his escalations. And what he's doing against Iran further opens the eyes of people across the world, regardless of what CNN or NBC or Fox News or Sky News or France 24 or Deutsche Welle or any of these outlets, no matter what they say, whether it's Time Magazine or the New York Times or the Guardian, people see right through it. Those who want to see, those who of course willfully close their eyes, of course they'll keep their eyes closed. But people have woken up. So I think that Netanyahu has destroyed Israel. He's destroyed the regime. He's exposed the regime for what it really is. And now people like me, I have nothing to say. So many young people are saying it better than me. When I watch young people in Europe and the United States, young Jews speak out against this fanatical regime, I'm so impressed by their eloquence, by their dignity, by their honor, by their morality, by their courage. It's changed. The world has changed. So I think, yes, this is the final nail in the coffin, because Netanyahu will not win against Iran. Iran is determined to make sure the regime regrets what it did. It is determined. Because we cannot appease the enemy. We cannot let them feel that they got something out of this. We have to make sure that they feel that this was a failure so that it will never happen again. Just like with Saddam Hussein, we had to make sure that it would never happen again. So Iran is going to push till ultimately the regime has to back down. And I am confident that the regime will have to back down. Already we're seeing signs of this, but the Iranians have a lot of work to do still. But already we're seeing signs of this, because you see that the French president is contacting Iran, the French president who's supporting the attack, or the Qatari Amir contacts Iran, or the Americans are sending messages through different channels to Iran, saying we have nothing to do with this. Say it in open. Why are you saying it in private channels? So we're beginning to see how the other side is recognizing that they made a mistake. But Iran is going to reinforce that. Iran is going to make them see. This is not going to be easy, Nima. It will be tough, because the Israeli regime has no red lines. They have zero morality. They're carrying out a genocide, a Holocaust in Gaza. And by the way, Nima, all of your viewers should always keep Gaza in mind. We should not be distracted from Gaza. We should be focusing on everything. But the kids, the children of Gaza, they're continuing to starve, the West and the Israeli regime, and the slaughter that the West and the Israeli regime and their allies are carrying out. This is nonstop. As the Iranian missiles strike Zionist targets, we should still be thinking about the kids who are being slaughtered in Gaza, about the ethnic cleansing being carried out in the West Bank, by the Israeli regime's crimes being carried out still in Lebanon. So, but the Iranians it's going to be tough. It has no red lines, the regime, and the West has no red lines either. They're all the same. So they're going to kill people, they're going to cause damage, they're going to strike civilian targets, they're going to strike civilian factories and businesses, which they're doing, and they'll all call them nuclear sites or weapons production sites. They bombed a car factory. So that's not how the West is going to report it. But I should point out that all of Iran's key assets, Nima, are deep underground. The buildings on the surface, on the ground, the buildings that are in open space, those are not the key assets. Everything that's important is deep underground and inaccessible to the regime and to the Americans. And the same is true with Iranian underground drone bases and missile bases. They're inaccessible and they're everywhere. And Iran has decoys all over the place. And these decoys, they're real cars. That's how it works. I don't I don't want to go into detail, but they have a very sophisticated system. So when the Israelis think that they're knocking out one launcher after another and one radar system after another, a lot of them are just decoys. They have had successes with radar and by murdering people. They have had successes, but not the sort of successes that many people seem to believe.
One of the...
They're losing.
Yeah. We know that they assassinated Iranian scientists in this attack, in the initial hours of the attack in Iran. And I would wonder how the Iran's policy toward the communication with IAEA would change, as we know they provide Israel with a lot of information on Iranian nuclear program, including the scientists who are involved in this program.
Well, there's a big debate going on in Iran. Many people want Iran to leave the NPT. And there's no doubt that Iran's cooperation with the NPT, with the International Atomic Energy Agency is going to decrease significantly. And I think the relationship is irreparable. After all, the head of the organization, he refused to condemn the Israeli strikes on the nuclear program. Strikes that threaten to create an environmental catastrophe where people can die as a result of radiation leaks, hypothetically. He refused to condemn it. This is what we're facing. So I think that as we were discussing a few minutes ago, Iran's relationship with the West is going to change fundamentally. And it is the West that is going to have to rethink its policies towards Iran. It's the West that's going to have to come to terms with the reality that they don't have a winning hand in this conflict. And as the Israeli regime flounders, as we saw last night, and as we saw the very limited strikes that they've carried out on Iran in comparison to what the Iranians have done over the last 24, 36 hours, while this is happening, Russia is making advances across Ukraine. And the Chinese are developing their high-tech industries. They're doing research and development. They're working on AI. And the Americans are busy bombing people and killing people and supporting racists and ethno-supremacists. So where is that going to lead the United States? Where is that going to lead Europe? I think just as Netanyahu is about to fall, and he's reached the end of his rope, I think that Europe and the United States these are all catalysts that are speeding up the decline of the Western Empire, of the U.S. Empire, this very, very evil empire.
If you remember, before this happening, all of this madness happening, we talk about Israeli attack on Iran, and people who were experts, they were arguing that this would be a decapitation mission, this would be a so-called regime change mission in Iran. It seems that they somehow thought by killing the Iranian commanders, they can change everything in Iran. And because they know, I don't know how much they know about the Iranian population, as I mentioned earlier, Iranian unity is increasing drastically by these attacks. And the killing of the assassination of these commanders would bring even more of these people together. And how is that going? Do you think that the way that they have been responded in the last 4 or 5 hours with the response from Iran to Israel, do you think they're changing their mind, or they're going to double down? I don't see the United States, it seems that following the mainstream media, especially Fox News and these people who are so much hawkish about on Iran and Russia, they somehow said that the experts saying that no, the United States is not going to go and participate in directly. We know that they're behind. But how do you see the policy? How do you see the vision? How do you see the outcome of this sort of attack? That they felt somehow they can do so-called regime change in Iran.
You know, in the 1980s, when after the revolution, and people have to understand that this revolution was about sovereignty, dignity, about making decisions inside Iran. Iran before the revolution was a pawn. Iranian fighter jets were sent to Vietnam to be used by the Americans in their bombing campaigns. That's, you know, quite stunning. 90% of apartheid South Africa's oil came from Iran during the Shah. And we had effectively an Israeli embassy, and Iran was funding the Israeli regime and purchasing weapons from them and that sort of thing. After the revolution, I mean, the revolution was about expelling the Zionist regime from Iran and ending that relationship and supporting the Palestinians and ending the relationship with apartheid South Africa and the South African supremacist regimes like Rhodesia, and supporting the resistance in South Africa. And of course, making decisions at home. And Iran is fiercely independent. And it is a part of Iranian religious culture too. It's deeply embedded in the Iranian psyche. The prophet, his son-in-law, his grandson, Imam Hussein in Karbala, his sister, you know what Ashura is like in Iran, what Arbaeen is like in Iran. This notion of supporting the deprived, this idea of supporting the disenfranchised and the oppressed is very strong because of this ideological framework that exists in Iranian society, and the role that these people have, that these heroes of history have on Iranian society is profound. So for the United States, imagine that it's dependent, Iran is dependent on one person or another, is nonsense. During the war with Saddam Hussein, when the country was still post-revolution, it was still relatively unstable, they killed the president. They murdered the prime minister. Back then we had a prime minister instead of a first vice president. They murdered the head of the judiciary. They murdered many leading commanders in the armed forces as Saddam Hussein was invading the country. Nothing happened. After the war, the founder of the revolution, the father of the revolution, passed away. The West was saying Iran would collapse, it would go into civil war. The next day, we had a new leader in accordance with the Constitution. Iran is not dependent on individuals. So they can kill more of our people, but it's not going to change. Nothing will change. This is the Islamic Republic of Iran will remain steadfast. It will grow more powerful. And it will not give up on the Palestinian people. It will not forsake the Palestinian people. Iran will continue to support the Palestinian people until they get liberation, until they're treated as human beings, and the West can do nothing about it. And the axis of resistance will continue the struggle until the Palestinian people get their full rights as equal human beings. The West does not consider Palestinians as human. They consider them as subhuman. Let's be very frank. The West supports ethno-supremacism. They support this notion of a chosen people. Even those who don't even believe in religion, they support the Zionists as the chosen people somehow. Christian Zionists, this cult, claim that Christ supports this genocide. You have these people. But most Westerners, ordinary people on the streets, from all walks of life, they're awake now. They see the reality. Increasingly, they're waking up. And again, at the forefront, you see young Jews. You see, I don't know if you saw the clip of that young woman, I think she was a Hindu at MIT, who spoke out against apartheid. People from all walks of life, from different religions and races, they're all waking up. And so the world has changed. So they should not have any hope. The Israeli regime, their backers should not have any hope. Iran will be steadfast. It will remain supportive of the Palestinian people. It is strong. It is powerful. What is breaking apart is the narrative that the West has successfully been able to create for decades. And young people and older people, but mostly young people across the world, are the ones who are crushing this narrative. As I said, Jews, Muslims, Christians, Hindus, men, women, people from all, workers, factory workers, university students. It's quite amazing. And I think it's very encouraging. And actually, Nima, I think many of these young Jews have made such a fantastic argument over the past few months that the most anti-Semitic, whatever that means, because Palestinians are really the Semites, most of these, for example, the Ashkenazi Jews are European. But anyway, but this anti-Semitism, if we are going to look at it from the perspective that they use the term in the West, the most anti-Semitic ideology is Zionism. Because they're doing all these atrocities, all these criminal acts in Iran, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in the West Bank, in Syria, in the name of Jews. And Jews are crying out, many, many young Jews are crying out, not in my name. So they are the real enemies of Judaism.
Professor Marandi, before wrapping up this session, in your opinion, how long does it take for Iran to somehow make the West understanding that the way that they started this war is not going to work for the case of Iran? Are we going to see harder attacks on Israel?
Yes, I think that the Iranians are going to keep up the pressure. They're going to increase the pressure, and they're prepared for a very long war. We're prepared for a very long war. And we will do what it takes to make sure that this never happens again. And we'll make sure that the Israeli regime is so badly weakened that it will never be able to treat the Palestinian people with such impunity again. So if the regime knows what's good for it, it will seek a solution very swiftly. Time is not on its side, and Iran is determined. The Israelis and Americans and the Europeans made a huge miscalculation. They carried out this sudden and unprovoked act of aggression and murdered innocent people, children on the streets, thrown out of their windows. Just as I said a few hours ago, 10 more children just in one building slaughtered by Trump and Netanyahu and Witkoff and all of those who are a part of this conspiracy. They may have had some successes on day one, but their major miscalculation was that they had shown the world that they are the aggressor. And most importantly, in the eyes of the Iranian people, they are the aggressor. And that has united Iranians more than I've ever seen before, since probably the war where Saddam Hussein invaded Iran. So I think that this was a major miscalculation. The Zionist regime will not succeed, and it will probably, in my opinion, bring an end ultimately to Netanyahu's career. And I think that the regime will continue to go downhill until its ultimate demise. And hopefully we'll have a Palestine where Jews, Christians, Muslims can live as equal human beings, something that the West looks on in horror an idea that, you know, people can be equal human beings. The West is like outraged by such a notion. And we are so evil. We are considered to be so evil because we're saying they should all have equal rights.
Thank you so much, Professor Marandi, for being with us today. Great pleasure, as always.
Thank you, Nima. Have an excellent day, and hopefully we'll have better days ahead.
Yeah.